When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The ex-head coach here in Washington, or the former head coach, I shouldn't say the ex-head coach, former head coach here in Washington, longtime offensive coordinator and all-around good guy, Jay Gruden on air and on the road, is brought to you and driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax, F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life. Lifetime vehicle covered. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com. And without further ado, we say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Jay, to you and your family, how are you, pal?
Merry Christmas down here in Tampa. Got to see the grandkids and the new granddaughter, so it's been a good day, good week.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Did you just get there today, or were you there all weekend, or?
A couple days ago, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Good.
Attaboy, attaboy. Well, congratulations again, and best wishes to everybody in the Gruden family, and I know it's ever-expanding, so certainly good to see. By the way, I've seen a lot of your brother of late on the Barstool Sports thing. I mean, I know I asked you about it a couple of weeks ago, but, I mean, you got a stupid Eagles fan calling in, screaming and cursing and yelling, and John was having a good old time. Yeah, exactly.
He played that for me today. Yeah, I got to see him today. Yeah, he's all proud of that one.
All right, let's start there. I mean, obviously the Commanders get a break and Jalen Hurts gets hurt. I don't know how many more points they would have scored besides the 33 that they did score when Jalen Hurts, and all of them were without Jalen Hurts, although he had a couple of big runs, including the one he got hurt on, to set up the first A.J. Brown touchdown on the slant from Pickett. Clearly, that's a big loss, but do you think that's the reason why the Commanders were able to find a way to win this? Or are you like, well, that happens, and sure, it hurt them, but it's not the reason?
Well, it's a I agree with both the things you said. Sure, it happens. I mean, it might have been the reason, but we'll never know. It happened. I mean, that's what happens in pro football. People do get hurt, and backups have to play. Kenny Pickett's been a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It's not like he's some rookie who's never played a down coming off the bench. This guy's a good backup quarterback, and that's why he's there. So you got to play the hand that's dealt, and Washington did an unbelievable job of sticking to their guns, doing what they had to do to get the win and overcoming some horrific turnovers to get the victory. So, yeah, hats off to Washington, Jade, and the rest of the crew for just sticking with the plan and sticking together, sticking with each other, and believing that they can come back.
No doubt. At @coach_JGruden is how you follow Jay on X, if you're not already doing so, and I'm sure many of you are. But @coach_JGruden, just for the record. So I agree with you. I mean, listen, again, it's not like Pickett's a former first-round pick a couple of years ago. I know it didn't work out in Pittsburgh. You know, it was weird, though, Jay, because after that big run by Saquon Barkley near the end of the first quarter, the 68-yarder, it almost seemed like the Commanders were a completely different defense in terms of bottling him up. Is that because they don't trust that Pickett is going to beat them, or is that just something that happened and they played run fits a little bit better? Because early on, they were really struggling stopping the run on the right side of the Commanders' defense, the left side of the Eagles' offensive line.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they had a meeting down there. Bobby Wagner probably took control. Coach Quinn, the defensive coaches, and enough's enough, and they just played better. They played gap control a lot better. They got off blocks a lot better. They tackled better. And you're right, after that 68-yard run, I think he only averaged about 2.5 yards a carry, which is, you know, which is unbelievable. That's a great tribute. I don't care who's playing quarterback. You know, obviously, they didn't have to worry about the zone reads as much, but still, to limit Saquon Barkley to that type of output after a 68-yard run, whatever it was, is great tribute to that defense and them sticking together.
The Luvu interception, I don't know how many times you've gotten to, you know, kind of watch it, break it down in your mind. Jay, to me, obviously a huge spot. They turned that, they were down 14-0, doing nothing. They get the quick touchdown after, so it gets them back in the game. But to me, the interception and how he read it, if I saw it right live, and I think on one replay, like the guy, he was in coverage on the left side of the Commander's defense, and he's lined up on the edge. He kind of peels off, and Luvu then reads Pickett's eyes and jumps the slant or the shallow cross behind him, and again processes all of that. To me, for a guy who is not, I don't want to say he's not good, but not, it's not his natural thing. I mean, it's just not in pass coverage. I thought that was an incredible diagnosis and obviously a key interception and play and moment.
Yeah, for sure. It was a great route recognition. He had a guy to the flat. He looked like he was going to buzz the flat. That's why Kenny went right to the spot route right behind him. Luvu stuck his foot in the ground and went right to that spot route, right where it was going to be, and anticipated it, and was a great play. It would have fooled me if I was a quarterback, for sure, because, you know, when you see somebody buzz to the flat, you go right to that little spot route right behind them and drill it.
Right.
Because usually that's where the open spot is, but Luvu gave him the old double take and faked them out, went right to it, got a pick. That's a hell of a play. He's been unbelievable the last, you know, month and a half. He can rush the passer. He can play coverage. He can run to the football. He's been a great addition to this defense.
No doubt. Jay Gruden with us, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group. All right, let's get to Jaden Daniels. I mean, five touchdown passes is five touchdown passes, but just to dial down and get specific, Jay, my favorite drive of the year, my favorite offensive possession, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure this had to speak your love language. You're backed up at the four. You're down 21-7. You've lost a little momentum from that Luvu interception and then the quick touchdown because of the Barkley touchdown. You know, you kind of just like figuring, all right, maybe move the ball, get Tress a little bit more possession. And Cliff Kingsbury comes out and dials up a 50-yard bomb down the right sideline to De'Ami Brown. And then a couple of plays later on a 3rd and 8, Jaden with one of the best throws, Terry with one of the best catches for a 32-yard touchdown. I mean, again, obviously a huge score, but where they were on the field to be that aggressive was awesome in my opinion.
I think you're 100% right. You know, it's a way to capture the momentum back. A great throw to De'Ami and then the throw to Terry. He had a free hitter coming off the edge. He just stuck his foot in the ground and dropped a dime, and that was a great adjustment by Terry. And hats off to Coach Kingsbury. But, you know, obviously the players for executing the plan and getting right back in the game and seizing that momentum. And, you know, this game is about momentum and capture momentum and then what you do once you have it to maintain it. And obviously Washington did a great job of capturing it. They lost it back a little bit, but then they went back and regained it and got the victory. So lots of ebbs and flows in that game. That's what pro football is all about, especially when you play good teams. Just a matter of sticking with each other and playing till the bitter end, and that's what they did.
It seemed like one of the touchdowns to Crowder, the first one, and one of the, I think the 4-yard touchdown pass to OZ, that the Eagles almost seemed confused, lost a little bit, and maybe like not expecting what Cliff and Jaden threw at them, maybe the route tree. What did you see out of those ones? Because it's unusual that you get that much space, A, in the NFL, and B, against a Vic Fangio defense, especially with that secondary the way it's been playing.
Well, they had a lot of coverage breakdowns. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know if they had new players back there or what, but Vic Fangio is a very specific coverage type coach to different formations. 2x2, he plays certain things. And 3x1, he plays certain things. Those guys have those breakdowns, you know, really, I don't understand it. I think they must have had some new players or something. But the one touchdown to OZ is wide open down the sideline. They had 12 guys on the field, and nobody covers them down the sideline. I don't know what the hell they're doing. So, yeah, I mean, I think pace, tempo has a lot to do with it. And then, obviously, changing formations and doing different things, which Cliff did, also confused them a little bit. So, you know, it was a great plan by Cliff, great execution by the offense, and I think defensively, Vic Fangio will go back to the drawing board, and he'll get on his defense today, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. It was weird to see, especially when you consider, you know, the first matchup, they couldn't get Terry on track. against Quinyon Mitchell and DeJean's plan. I don't know. Do you think that could have something to do with C.J. Gardner-Johnson being ejected from the game, Jay, early, mid-ish third quarter for the two personal foul unsportsmanlikes? I mean, when you lose a leader back there, even though he might not be great in coverage, maybe that affected something?
Well, he's in charge of a lot of the communication. And losing that guy hurts a lot because he can play inside, obviously, safety, nickel, all that stuff. He's all over the place. And losing that guy with that type of experience and versatility will hurt a lot because his backup, I'm sure, is probably one-dimensional. CJ's not one-dimensional. He's multidimensional. So I'm sure that hurt a little bit, but there's still no excuse. This is week 17 to have coverage breakdowns like they had. Is unheard of, especially for a coach team like Philadelphia.
Yeah, I agree. Jay Gruden with us, again, brought to you by the Ted Britt Automotive Group as we relive a 36-33 thrilling Commanders win yesterday. On that final drive, one thing that stood out to me, and I wonder if it did to you, Brian Robinson's in the Chateau Bow Wow, Jay. He fumbled twice, got stopped on the 4th-and-1 early on at midfield. So, you know, kind of three negative plays, if you will, even though maybe the fourth down stop is not on him. He's kind of like a loss. They can't naturally run the football. And yet Cliff and the offense, they go to him twice, and he gets 5-yard gains, including the 3rd-and-1, which sets up the – and that was out of the final timeout. What does that say when you and would you have gone back to him in that spot, right? Like, at some point, you got to go with a guy who's helped you get here, or would you have maybe abandoned him and not trusted him in that spot?
I think he's done so much good for this team this year. I think you got to go back to him because you're going to need him again next week against Atlanta. You're going to need him against Dallas. You're going to need him in the playoffs if it comes to that. So, yeah, I think it's a great tribute to Coach Quinn and keeping faith in his guys. Because, like I said before, he's been a huge force for this team in between the tackles, outside the tackles, and moving forward. They're going to need him to be the bell cow moving forward.
Jay Gruden with us, Ted Britt Automotive Group, along the way, right before Christmas, as we talk about a 36-33 win for the Commanders. Jaden, on that final touchdown drive, you know, he throws a dart, obviously, to Crowder, who you drafted and is now on his second turnaround here in Washington. What, I guess the best way I could ask this, what makes Jameson so hard to, I guess, cover? Because he's not the biggest guy we know. He's lost maybe a step, a lot of injuries, but yet, I don't know. He had the two touchdowns, and the second one is not exactly an easy throw. That was not a blown coverage, at least in my opinion. What did you see there?
The last touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was just a great coverage beater. You know, they had a guy underneath the linebacker, and he peeled off and tried to take Crowder behind him, but Crowder beat him to the punch. He got them back in the end zone. The thing about Crowder is he's not a very big guy, but he plays long. He's got really long arms. He's got a good catch radius. He's got strong ass hands. I mean, he can pluck anything. You know, he's not going to run away from a lot of people, but he's got great quickness in and out of cuts. He's very dependable. He's where he's supposed to be all the time. And guys like that are important, you know, and there's going to be guys that are probably quicker and bigger and faster than him. But when you have a guy that's as dependable as him, is a great guy like him, and will emerge in clutch situations, you want him on the field. He's just one of those guys that you can depend on in clutch situations.
No doubt about it. Jay, when you look at Jaden on that 4th-and-11, what was it, from the 41, if I'm not mistaken? I mean, you don't design a 4th-and-11 run. I think that's pretty clear. Is that just an athlete being improvising just based on what he sees initially off the snap? Or do you think he reads something out pre-snap? How did you kind of break that down? And what did you think of the decision by DQ to not punt it and go for it on 4th-and-11?
I thought it was a great decision. And, you know, of course it worked. It was a great decision. If it even hadn't worked, you still would have had to get a stop anyway. So you just lost a little bit of field position. But, you know, this guy, Jaden, man, he's just so athletic, and he's got the most natural instincts I've seen in a long time as far as when to tuck it and run it, when to buy time, when to get rid of it. He just is a natural at the position, and nothing affects him. He's just incredible. So, I think when you have a guy like that at the quarterback position, you can be a little bit more reckless, a little bit more gutsy with your fourth down decisions because you can trust the fact that he's going to make the play, and that's what he's done over and over this year.
No doubt. Jay Gruden with us again, Ted Britt Automotive Group. So ultimately, now the Commanders have won 10 games with, you know, like you led them to a division crown with Kirk in 2015. But you guys won 9 games. You won 8 the next year. They haven't won 10 since 2012. And now they face the Atlanta Falcons. And we haven't talked to you since, obviously, Kirk has been benched. But we all know he had struggled. What did you make of that decision? And I guess how stunning was it? Or do you believe that Kirk just doesn't look himself still in that offense, whether it's his Achilles, or whether it's Zach Robinson, or whether it's something else that we're all missing? What do you make out of that whole situation?
I think it's a combination of things. You have a new offensive coordinator trying to find his way. It's the first time he's ever had to come up with game plans, how to attack defenses, situational play, all that stuff, coming up with all the situational plays, and then trying to cater to Kirk's strengths. And I don't think he did a very good job of doing that. Kirk's strength is under center with the play actions and the bootlegs, and they didn't do a whole lot of that. And part of that maybe because Kirk wasn't 100% recovered from his Achilles. He does not look the same. He's never been a very mobile quarterback, so to speak, but he's been effective with his mobility, if that makes sense. But he just did look a little bit more rigid in the pocket, didn't mm-hmm. look as flexible as he normally does. He still threw the ball accurately, but he forced some balls into coverage. A lot of the routes and a lot of the plays that they're running, receivers had options just come out of their cut and break it off to the outer, stick it down in the zone, and that's really not Kirk's forte. He likes to know where people are going, and so he can anticipate throws. He sees windows and lets it fly, but when he's not sure where the receivers are going to be, he holds on to it a little bit long and just waits, and then he gets sacked or throws it up into a crowd. So I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think it was a pretty good move to give Penix a shot, especially since they've had him there and watched him throw all through camp and through the season. They probably said, you know, hell, let's just give him a chance. He's a little bit more mobile probably, and they can do a little bit more.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think, the jury's still out on this decision.
Right.
I'm still not convinced that Penix is the right guy, but I think Kirk probably had to sit for a little bit.
I mean, 18 of 27, 202, no touchdowns and an interception. They got, you know, 2 pick sixes for 14 of their 34 points. Did you see anything from Penix that made you go, oh, okay, he's more advanced than I thought he would be, or was there nothing really there to see?
And not really. He threw the ball good. He had some good throws on some traditional drop back plays. And, he did some good things, obviously, but they didn't really have to do a lot. Like you mentioned before, the defense got the touchdowns for them, and the Giants have totally, absolutely just gone to sleep. They packed in there. They got their tickets to the Bahamas or somewhere. They're done. I mean, they don't even care. It's unbelievable. It's a farce watching them play.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he plays against a team that's hungry and playing for a playoff spot.
It's weird because the Giants were somewhat competitive up until 2 weeks ago, and then Lamar and the Ravens, and obviously, again, the 2 pick sixes certainly didn't help the Falcons, just blowing them away. The Rams with a big win yesterday, Jay, in New York or at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I mean, it wasn't pretty from an offensive perspective, but, the Rams are now 9-6 to go cross country. That's never easy. That Jet offense had been playing pretty well, and the Jet defense had been a little bit better, I guess. And the Rams come out, hold them, to single digits, and grind Kyren out in the cold and win a game.
Yeah, it was an impressive game. I thought, it wasn't pretty, like you mentioned, but it was a smash mouth game, which I think is important for Sean moving forward, going to the playoffs or trying to win that division, to be able to show teams, hey, we can pound it between the tackles now. You can't just play Stafford, yeah, Puka, and Cooper and Higbee now that they have Higbee and Stafford. You got to stop the run. And that's the number one focus going into play the Rams. I think the plan was stop and run, but you're saying, wait a minute. If we stop the run, how are we going to cover Cooper and Puka and Kyren out of the backfield and Matthew Stafford? So I think it's they show great balance at L.A. They have a lot going for them. They have a very good young defense. They keep them fresh when they run the ball like that, especially on the road. They keep Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, who was hot, came in with a hot hand, and limited his passing attempts because they possessed the ball. That was a great plan by Sean, I thought.
Yeah, I agree with you. 19-9, the Rams win, obviously. Monday Night Football tonight, Green Bay, who the Commanders are chasing. They're expected to win, double-digit favorites and all that stuff. We'll see. One last one, Jay, before we let you go. I was really disappointed by Tampa last night. I know they got back in it and made it a game. I'd honestly fallen asleep with a couple of late scores and the late turnover, but I mean, at one point they were down, I guess it was, what, 26-14? And I know Dallas has played better than their record. I got it. Credit to Mike McCarthy. But what happened to Tampa last night?
They didn't have much of a protection plan, and they turned the ball over. Baker had a couple bad decisions. They fumbled there at the end. They had a chance to go down and kick a field goal, win the game. And they didn't really have a good protection plan for Zimmer's double-A blitzes. Mm. Baker was running around for his life all day. And when you play Mike Zimmer team and you get down by a couple scores, you got to expect these double A's and some of these blitzes. And Tampa wasn't ready for it. They didn't prepare good enough, in my opinion, and it showed on the field. So Tampa's now got to hope LA or Atlanta loses the game. They got to win out to win the division. So a lot of things still can happen with these last 2 weeks, but definitely a disappointing night for Tampa.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jay, not disappointing to talk to you every Monday at 3 o'clock, my friend. I appreciate you. Happy holidays to you and the entire Gruden family. Again, thank you for all you do for us here and the radio show in Odyssey, D.C. Always a pleasure to get to catch up with you.
All right, thanks, Chris. Merry Christmas.
There you go. Merry Christmas to Jay Gruden and family. On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford in Chantilly and Fairfax F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling. Home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.